Okay, let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. And it was Matthew chapter 9, and we'll start in verse 36. But when he, being Jesus Christ, saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the labourers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth labourers into his harvest. So of course he's looking at these people, these human beings that have no shepherd, they have no guidance in their life. You know, they don't know what the truth is. They don't know what path to follow. And they need people, you know, I use that as a plural, people to let them know, to inform them about what Jesus' words are and the path that they should follow to eternal life. And he's moved with compassion. He said, oh, these people, they just need direction. They need to know what life's all about. And he says those people, he's referring to these people as the harvest, you know, people that need to be spoken to, you know, that respond to the word, they're part of this harvest. And it's a truly plenteous harvest. There's so many people. There's so many people that need to be spoken to. And there's been a bit of a theme through tonight, what's been said in places like spreading the gospel. And we have to spread the gospel. The harvest is plenteous. There's a lot of people out there that need to hear. And then it goes, but the labourers are few. Okay, so he's moved with compassion, like he needs, like it's Jesus Christ, he's looking at these multitudes, and he's moved with compassion, and he's just saying, I need help to get the gospel to these people, I need labourers, you know, but labourers are few. Now, I look at this, and there's a bit of comfort knowing that, hey, I mean, Jesus said there'll be labourers will be few. It's a fact. It's the way it is, you know, and so I get a bit of comfort from that. But then it says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth labourers into the harvest, you know, people to help Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus possibly felt like he was alone here. Well, he was. He was alone because the Holy Spirit hadn't been poured out onto a people. So at this stage, he was alone trying to preach about the kingdom of God. It was after the day of Pentecost that he wasn't alone anymore, that the Holy Spirit was given to many. And so that harvest today is plenteous and the laborers are few. It's a fact. And so let us pray to the Lord of harvest that he'll send forth more laborers to help with this great harvest of mentioning to everyone about the truth, about spirit and the truth and what's required to be right with God. Go back to chapter 6. So the title of this talk is labor or laborer. You know, it's work. That's what it is. And that's what it says. That's what Jesus Christ says here. You know, there are few workers. The work is great. You know, pray ye the Lord of the workers that he'll send forth workers, you know, to undertake work. That's what labourers do. They do work. And so the title of this talk is labour. And so back in, so to introduce Matthew chapter 6, you know, the Lord's saying, look, there's a lot of work to be done, okay? He's asking his followers to be labourers. He's asking his followers to take the gospel out and be labourers, to work in the kingdom of God. That's what he's asking. And, you know, today, we get a job, we do work, and we're paid. Okay, and so here, when we read in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, it says, Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Now, how great it is, you know, like we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We are We're following the light of the world, you know, so we are lights. And if the light that's in us is darkness, how great is that darkness? You know, like this hope that God has in us being filled with the Spirit and we're following darkness, man, that's a horrible darkness. Like you're kind of pushing aside what God's asking us to do. Like he's asking us to do stuff here on earth and to lay up our treasures in heaven. So like I said before, we have a job. We get a job, we're employed in various places here on earth, we're paid, we get these treasures that stay here on earth, but then when we do our labour and we work for the Lord, we're laying up our treasures in heaven, right? And the income we get here on earth, that can disappear. We know that, it can just disappear and it stays here on earth, but we are going to be raised up to meet the Lord in the air. So what the Lord's saying is, you know, do the Lord's work and these treasures will remain in heaven. And I think this is a very important fact is, you know, the labour we do and the work we do in the kingdom of God is not for nothing. You know, we're actually laying up treasures in heaven. Our income is being laid up in heaven, in this bank account up in heaven. And it's an equation. A simple equation, just like here, particularly in Australia, you work more, you get paid more. It's the same in the kingdom of heaven. You work more, you get paid more. So the contrary wise is you work less, you get paid less. Okay? And these are treasures that are laid up in heaven. So different people would have different amounts of treasure laid up in heaven. It's a fact. It's the way it is. Like we're all raised up to meet the Lord in heaven, but somehow there's something going on in that everyone has a different size bank account, depending on how much they labour, they do the Lord's work here on earth. So Luke chapter 19, I think that's about right, Luke 19. Okay, and sometimes, you know, we all say, yep, no, we're all going to be raised up to meet the Lord in the air, which we are, but we forget this thing. There is actually a difference, and it's this whole treasures laid up in heaven thing. So we all get salvation, but then when we read Luke chapter 19, it kind of puts it together kind of well. Luke chapter 19, we'll read a fair bit of this. In verse 12, he said, therefore, a certain nobleman, referring to Jesus Christ himself, went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants, or followers, and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we'll not have this man to reign over us. You know, so many people have rejected Jesus Christ as their king and decided to follow their own ways. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading, right? And by trading is doing work, labouring away, using that gift, I suppose, that was given by this nobleman, Jesus Christ. And then you go about trading, you're labouring, you're working, you put what God has given to you to work in the kingdom of God and do this trading thing. Verse 16, then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. So this person worked away in Jesus' absence or in this nobleman's absence, and he gained 10 pounds. He laid up another 10 pounds in heaven. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. Right? So we here on earth have been given a commission. We are ambassadors, right? We've been given a commission here on earth to be faithful in something that's very little, right? So we're here on earth where we're faithful to God, following his ways, and then when we prove how faithful we are and we're raised up to meet the Lord in the air, then we're given according to how much we labored here on earth. You know, and it says here, there's this correlation. He gained 10 pounds. He had 10 pounds laid up in heaven, and he was given authority over 10 cities. He was proven faithful in this little thing on earth So then when he rules and reigns, as we all will do, he'll have 10 cities, have a lot of authority because he was proven worthy with laying up that treasure in heaven. And the second came saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds, which is great. This person laboured away on earth and gained 5 pounds. Didn't quite lay up as much treasure in heaven, but still laid up treasure in heaven. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. So he got in return what he'd laid up in heaven, the treasures he laid up in heaven. And another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. So he was given this pound and he did nothing with it. He just sat on it. Okay? And likewise, here on earth, we're given the Holy Spirit. We're given this amazing thing. Let's use it. Let's labour with it and use it. You know, the harvest is truly great. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. You've got the Spirit, so you're part of that kingdom of God. You can be a labourer and work for the Lord. Don't sit on it. Don't sit on it and do nothing. You know, and it says here in verse 21, for I feared thee because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taken up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Therefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury. Now we know from Old Testament that God actually hates earning an income through usury. That's interest. It's something God hates. This is an example that he could still somehow use that spirit in you. It's not the Lord's encouraging us to invest so that we earn lots of stuff through interest and so forth, but it's an example here that we use what the Lord's given us, even if it's only a little. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that unto everyone which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. So what he's saying here is those people that are, I guess, it's a strong term, but I guess those people that are lazy, those people that are lazy in the Lord, what you have will be taken from you. And what we have, that fundamental thing, is the Holy Spirit. And the Lord's saying here, we'll take that Holy Spirit from them and put them as part of these people that will not be raised up to meet him in the air. That's how serious it is. That's why we have to labour and use what God's given us, because otherwise he'll take it away and lay up this treasure in heaven so that we can get this great inheritance. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Don't get whacked with the lazy stick. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. Or I only and Barnabas have not we power to forbear working. So what he's saying here, as an example, Paul himself and Barnabas, who did so much for the Lord, they actually have power within themselves to not work, you know, not do the Lord's work. They have a choice, like we all do. We have a choice whether we do the Lord's work or not, whether we work or whether we be lazy. You know, we've got that choice. We've got the power within us, just like Paul and Barnabas did. But obviously Paul and Barnabas chose not to refrain from doing the Lord's work, but they went ahead and did it. Verse 7, who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges or at his own expense? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plough in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. So this is an amazing promise in this. right? The Lord's asking us to labour and work in his vineyard, you know, and be part of the reaping and the harvest. And he's asking us to do that and to use what he's given us and not fold it up and keep it in a napkin, but to lay up treasure in heaven. He's asking us to do all that. But then what's wonderful is I was thinking like, yeah, okay, we carry on and do the work here on earth. It's just what the Lord's asked us to do. But what he's saying is we will end up being a partaker of it. We'll end up reaping the benefits. And how many testimonies are there throughout the years of those that reap the benefits? You know, that they do take part of the milk of the flock. You know, they get to eat of the fruit thereof. You know, they get to see the increase. They get to see wonderful blessings in their lives. The Lord will not be a debtor to any man. So the Lord's asking us to do these things as his servants, but he makes it worthwhile, even here on earth. Even here on earth, he blesses our life abundantly. He doesn't muzzle the ox. You know, the ox, as it treads out the corn, can eat of the corn. And like, we're working away, you know, working away for the Lord, and he's letting us pick away at some great things here on earth, while we still, on top of that, lay up treasure in heaven, which we'll get when we're raised up to meet him in the air. Galatians chapter 6. I think another parable, Jesus actually calls the person a slothful servant. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfil the law of Christ. Excuse me. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. So that's the way I read that in the context of these set of scriptures that I'm reading out, is those people that think, oh, I'm fine, you know, I don't need to do anything. I can fold the Holy Spirit up in a napkin and push it to the side. I don't need to do anything. They're kind of elevating themselves to be something, but they're not actually anything, you know. So that's where the deception is. You know, but if you keep labouring away and in all humility, Lord, you're an amazing God, you're an amazing God, who am I? I'm just doing what you've asked me to do, you know, you're diminishing yourself. But the Lord then lifts that person up. It's different. And so you have that mindset to do the Lord's work, to labour. And through that, just this incredible humility just comes naturally to you. Like, God, you did so much, you know, you've done so much for me, and I just follow your ways. And the Lord lifts you up and lays treasure up in heaven for you and blesses the life, and you see some wonderful things. Whereas the other way, you sit back on your laurels, think, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. I don't need to do anything. You're elevating yourself above what you actually are in the eyes of the Lord and deceiving yourself. Verse 4, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Okay, partaker of the fruit of the earth. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. Be not tired. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know, if you don't get tired. And it's just a wonderful thing. Wednesday nights here, we often shake our head in disbelief. We drag ourselves here, no matter how tired we are, and yet the Lord blesses, and we have see some amazing things on a Wednesday night. So let us not be weary in well-doing, thinking, oh, I'm too tired now. Oh, I've got another excuse. Oh, I feel like just watching telly, you know. Oh, just whatever excuse. Be not weary. You know, you just do what you can, because if you keep sowing to the Spirit, you shall reap of the Spirit everlasting life, okay? And that's that labour thing. But if you keep sowing to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. And corruption does not inherit the kingdom of God. But it's another wonderful promise here that we reap everlasting life and reap it and keep laying up that treasure in heaven. And this encouragement, just these words that you can have rattling around in your mind, let us not be weary in well-doing. You're kind of worn out. You don't feel like doing it. And, oh, nah. Oh, I'd rather not. Well, don't. Let us not be weary in well-doing, because in season you shall reap. And you think on the agricultural version, like, it's a lot easier now with machines that you've remote controlled and everything to plow the paddocks and sow. But still, people work like 17, 18 hours a day to get the crop in. You know, it's full-on work for weeks on end, every day. It's just constant working, trying to get the crops in. And imagine that without machines, you know, constantly working and how weary they'd be doing. But they know they're sowing in hope, because they know if they do this for this short period of time, a fortnight or whatever, they know it'll be done and they can sit back and rest and wait for the earth to bring forth the fruit. It's the same here. We're here on earth. You know, it's a short period of time. Let us not be weary in well-doing. You know, having that mindset will, in due season, we will reap if we don't give up, okay? We'll get that inheritance. We'll get back that treasure in heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And this is the scripture that really stood out to me when I realized that there is a difference with our inheritance. Yes, we get eternal life, but there is a difference with what treasure is laid up. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and it ties in with the scriptures I've already read to back it up. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9, "Wherefore we labour, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Okay? So we do. It says here, we all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And so you can imagine, this is how I imagine, appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Yep. "Thou good and faithful servant, enter the joy of the Lord." And here is 10 cities. "Enter the joy of the Lord." Here's 2 cities. You know, depending on what treasure you have, but you enter the joy of the Lord. But what you get, it depends on what treasures you've laid up in heaven. And so let us have that mindset to not weary in well-doing. Okay? Because it's worth it. It's worth it. And again, in your own testimony, when you're doing the work of the Lord, you get that joy. And when you're witnessing to people and you have this great opportunity, it's just wonderful. You know, I reckon everyone in the Bunbury Revival Fellowship's experienced that. You get it, and it's just fantastic when someone's receptive and you just get to talk about the kingdom of God. And we all have to somehow pray about being switched on. Because sometimes I'm off as well, and I just don't feel like talking to anybody. Ugh. But we have to pray about it, to be not weary in well-doing. Romans chapter 2, last scripture. Romans chapter 2 and verse 6. "Who will render to every man according to his deeds? To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honour and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But," here's the key, "but glory, honour and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, for there is no respect of persons with God. So wonderful thing there. Yeah, it's pretty harsh what it says there in verses 8 and 9, but it's a wonderful thing to round off. There's glory and honour and peace to everyone that works or labours good, you know? For God is no respecter of persons. And I like verse 8 as well. It says there, but unto them that are contentious, those that are argumentative, you know, have reasons for not doing the work of the Lord or not following God's ways. They always have a reason. What's your reason today? You know, be not contentious, but obey the truth. That's what it says, you know, in all humility, not arguing, but obeying the word of truth and following God's ways. And then you'll be part of this whole glory and honour and peace that's given to all those that work good. I like how the Bible just uses simple words sometimes, good, bad, you know. So those that work good and labour for the goodness of the kingdom of God and continue to lay up treasure in heaven. Okay, thank you.